Blog Talk Radio.
Today, we have a very special guest, author Christy Sloat, who writes in the same genre as I do, so I'm really excited about that, is here to discuss all things writing. So we have the phone lines are open, the chat room is open. If you're just now clicking the link, you might want to refresh your browser so that you can get into chat. You can log in with Facebook or you can create a login ID. The call-in number is 714-242-5259. So if you'd like to call in and make comments or add to the discussion or even ask questions, we will gladly take your call. Good morning, Christy.
Good morning.
Welcome to the show, the first show.
I know. I'm so honored to be here.
I'm so excited to have you and to get to pick your brain for a little while.
That's totally okay with me. I was just dancing to the intro song in my kitchen.
I love that song. I could have just listened to the whole song, but then that would have taken up way too much time.
It would have.
So let's get down into it. You know, we're both writers,
yeah.
But you still have a small child at home.
I do. Yes, I have a five-year-old at home. Yep.
And you are a full-time writer, yes?
Yes.
So what is that like? Well, I mean, I know what it's like for people who don't know what it's like. What is it? How do you manage to get writing time in with a little one running around?
Well, when I'm home with my little one, my oldest, who's nine, is at school. So basically during the day there's no writing to be done because, like I had told you before, there's a lot of interruptions. I need
right.
a snack. I want to watch this on TV. So basically during the day it's all her, and then for like an hour to 2 hours a day I get in my promotion. I'm on Facebook, I'm on Instagram, I'm doing all of the promotion stuff. And then at bedtime, when they're asleep and they're quiet, it's time to write. So basically the only time I can write is at night.
Oh, wow. And how much time do you actually get, like a couple hours? 4 hours, what do you actually get to put in your writing time?
It depends on what my goal is for that day. If I'm like, okay, just the other night I knew I had to get to 20,000 words, and that was my goal. So it was, okay, I knew I had to get 2,000 words in. So I put like a good 2 hours in. And then by that time, because I'm up early and I'm taking care of a five-year-old, my brain was, I was fried. I was done. So it was about 2 hours. So, and it also depends on my husband, whether he's home, because if he's home, he wants attention. And so, like a child, I have to give him attention or, spend time with him because I don't see him a lot due to his job. So there are some nights I don't get any writing done. And you know, as a writer, that's very hard to do.
Right.
Our minds are constantly moving and thinking and, you know, so sometimes I'm journaling, I'm writing my ideas down so that the next day I don't forget it.
Let's talk about that for a minute, because
okay.
I just recently had another conversation with, you know, Jennifer Malone, right? She's
yeah.
a good friend of mine.
Yep. Yep.
And we were on the phone talking. I have, as the years have progressed and the more I have gotten into this whole writing thing, I found that my mind slips and I can be in the middle of a conversation with someone and something will
mm-hmm.
catch my eye. And all of a sudden I am working a scene in my head.
Right.
And
yep.
and just kind of off focus. And they'll be like, are you listening? I'm like, oh, yeah, sorry, what?
Yeah, right, yeah.
I'm
that,
writing
that
in my head right now. I'm
time.
Sorry. Do you do that?
Yep, I do. A lot of my ideas come from when I'm in the shower, as awkward as that is. But I think it's because that's the only time I kind of get to myself. You know, I'm in the shower and I'm thinking. It's like, you know, my mind is relaxed. But
mm-hmm.
it could be talking to someone and then I see something, like, you know, in a mall or whatever. I see a teenager because I write YA.
Uh-huh.
And then it's like instantly I'm like, oh, I could put that in my book. And I think people are just used to it by now, my, like, zoning out. So they
uh-huh.
don't really say anything anymore about it. But it does
those
happen.
Are the what do you do with the book ideas? I mean, you have to be, I think most of us have a bajillion book ideas that something will spark, and then we have, do you write them down? Do you have, I have a file on my computer that has,
right.
I couldn't even tell you how many starts of books where I'll just make a note or maybe write the blurb and stick
right.
it in the file with the book name and for save it for later. Do you do that
yes.
too?
I try not to rely on the computer because I have relied on the computer and then have lost things. So I am more
oh.
a pen and paper person. Yeah, so I have like 7 journals and some of them are completely empty. Some of them are completely full of book ideas. And it could just be like a title of a book and a blurb,
mm-hmm.
like you said. I write the blurb before I even start the book, which is like insane. But that's my way
no, but
of writing
I've heard
down,
that that's
like,
a really good
idea.
Thing to do. Go ahead.
Okay.
Sorry
well,
about that.
It could, for me, it could be a problem because I'm such a bad blurb writer. Like, I, like, doubt myself, like, does this sound right? You know, but that's how I do it. And sometimes I go to Pinterest. I'm
mm-hmm.
a huge pinner. And I pin my characters because I visualize what they look like before anything else. So I do rely on Pinterest, but I also rely on my journal. But if I don't have my journal with me, I have a note section in my phone. And
uh-huh.
I'll type things out there.
So let's talk about the characters for a second. Because
okay.
developing a character, you know, is obviously one of the most important things in a story.
Absolutely.
I would say secondary to the plot even, maybe even primary, because
yes.
if you don't have good, likable characters, then your
right.
plot is skewed.
In your plot, yeah, it doesn't matter. Yeah.
Do you do character mapping? Do you sit down and write down? Because I know some folks don't. They just
right.
keep it all in their head. I have to write it down.
Uh-huh.
Even like their favorite food, whatever their favorite color is.
Yes.
Detailed descriptions of what they look like and what they like to do. Do you do that? Or how do you
yes,
work
I do.
That?
I can't keep anything in my head for very long because I cannot rely on my memory. I have a terrible memory. So, yes, I do devote a few pages in my journal to just the character. It has to be every single detail. because when you start the second book in a series, you could forget what color her eyes were,
right?
How she styles her hair. I mean, it's very easy to forget because not only am I a writer, but I'm a reader. So, you know, you're constantly getting new information about other people's characters at the same time. So,
right.
You know, you have to go back to that. And also, like I said, you know, I pin people, actors, models, whatever, to fit my character. So I do go back to Pinterest a lot, and I have to, you know, I have to kind of restudy who my character is. So it's very important that I map it all out and I write it all down in that so that I don't forget. Because I,
right.
I will.
I agree. I know when my very first book was Birthright, and I didn't have any clue what I was doing with that book. I had no clue. I was so naive. I honestly thought that I would write this book and then I would send it to a publisher and then I would get published and it was going to be just
right.
that easy. It was so naive.
I thought that
so
too.
Naive.
Yep.
So later on, many books later, somebody had read Birthright and asked me how old one of the characters was, and I didn't even know.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't remember. I had to go look it up in the book to find out
yep.
that Gregoria was 4,000 years old. And I was like, okay, this is not going to work. I have to keep track of these things because this is important stuff. And that's when I started keeping detailed character descriptions. And it does help, I think, when you need to go back, and especially when you're starting the new book. Let's talk about mapping, as far as mapping the story. Do you
okay.
do that, or are you the seat of your pants writer?
I'm a little bit of both. I mean, I was just talking to a writer about this today on Facebook. Okay, so basically, in my journal, I map out what is going to happen in this book, what new characters are coming in, if it's a second story. If it's a first story, what exactly is going to happen, how my character is going to grow. I do draw, so sometimes I draw certain scenes that I feel are, like, the most important or certain characters. And when it's time to sit down and write, I do not map out chapter by chapter. I do know people that do that. And I did try to do that before. And it's not that it didn't work, but it just didn't work for me. Because as
mm-hmm.
that chapter came about, I realized that what I had planned would not work in the scene.
Mm-hmm.
So I am more like a let my muse speak to me writer.
Mm-hmm.
And each chapter just comes to me as I'm sitting there. It plays out in my head like a movie, and then I just write it as it plays out. Sometimes that works. Sometimes I have to go back and change a few things, but
mm-hmm.
I think, like you were saying, that's how you grow. From the first book to this book, I've grown a lot. And, you know, I was the same way. I was very naive. I thought, this is the best book ever. Like, I'm going to be published, and it's going to be awesome. And this, you know, everyone's going to love my book. And, you know, it's just, you know, like, it was nothing like that. And now I, like, cringe when I, like, think about the first book. I mean, I do love those characters. I always
uh-huh.
will. But it's just like, oh, God, I wish I would have known the things then that I know now.
Right.
You know, and it's, you know.
I can totally relate to that. Do you constantly, because I do, I constantly feel pressure. With the first book especially, I keep thinking, you know, maybe I should go back and go through that and rewrite that because I know
right.
so much more now than what
time.
I did, and I could make
right.
it a better story.
Absolutely.
But then you think, you know, I just published my 25th book. I cannot go back and redo all 25
right.
books.
I don't have
or at least
time
the 24
for that.
Before.
Yeah. Right.
So I'm continuously talking myself out of it.
right. but knowing that, you could do so much better with it now. But then sometimes I'm like, well, you know, the book is free. I mean, mm-hmm. the first book is free. The second book to the series was so much better. I had written, that was my third book I had written, the second book to that story, and I know that it was better. So I feel like it's a free book. It's a way for me to get my name out there. And, you know, I have met people that read it, and they're like, I loved it. I mean, of course, there's the people that don't, but I feel like there's more people that love it than more people that don't love it. You know, I'm like, well, why go back? I have so much more planned to move ahead. You can't really go back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I could, but I don't have time for that.
Right. You know? It's time intensive. It really is.
Yeah.
Yeah. But your first book was Avery Snow, right? What was your first book?
The Many Lives of Avery Snow.
The Many Lives of Avery Snow. I can't believe yep. I remembered that. Because in my brain I'm going, I've thought this whole time when I knew you were coming on the show, we have to talk about the Brown House.
Right.
Because that book, wow. Reviews you're getting on that book, girl.
I loved writing that book. That was my second book I wrote. So I took a break from Avery Snow, and I just said, I got to write The Brown House. So I wrote that and started a totally different series and then went back to Avery Snow and wrote the second book to Avery Snow and finished that series and made that a duology. But The Brown House had to be written, like, and I'm sure you can agree with me, there are some books that just nag you.
Right.
That are like, excuse me, I need to be written. And that's how The Brown House was. It had to come out. So I took a break and wrote that. Yeah.
I agree.
They won't leave you alone.
Some are more persistent. Some stories are more persistent than others.
Yes. Yes.
And the character voices... Some are louder than others. Let's talk about
Absolutely.
These voices we hear in our head, girl.
Yes, let's do it.
let's talk about all these voices in our head. Do you find that can be disruptive sometimes in regular life?
I do. Well, you know, I'm taking care of my kids. I'm, you know, the soccer mom. I'm the Girl Scout mom. You know, by day, and then, you know, like, at night, I'm reading, because I'm a huge reader, and then my characters are like, you know, here's me, you know, you're ignoring me, and so I'm reading, and I'm not even, like, paying attention to what I'm reading, because they're talking to me,
mm-hmm.
so I'm like, what am I doing, and I have to put the book down, or sometimes, you know, like we discussed, they can interrupt a conversation.
Yeah.
And it's not so much like they're talking to you, like I literally don't have people talking to me, but like my mind wanders and I think about how my character would fit into my daily life, you know. But my character, Briley, in The Brown House was very disruptive. But one night I was just laying in bed and I couldn't sleep because I just kept envisioning her moving into this haunted house.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to get up, turn the light on. My husband's trying to sleep. And I'm like, I'm sorry. You know, I need to write this down. And
yeah.
It was a house he had lived in. So I needed him to wake up and to tell me, because I had never been in the house. The house is now owned by another family. So I had to tell him to tell me exactly the layout of the house so I could start this book. So that, you know, that can be very disruptive in life.
Yeah. I've had similar experiences where there was one particular night I was in a dead sleep and I woke up, it was like 2:30 in the morning, and I woke up, jumped out of bed and ran to the computer and wrote an entire scene for one of my books because I had just dreamed
right.
about it and it was all fresh.
Oh,
and,
my goodness.
And I was like, oh, I've got to get this down. It's so good. I got to get this down. And so
yep.
I'm up in the middle of the night, fingernails clicking away on the keyboard, trying to get this all out before I lost it. And it's one of my favorite scenes in Oceans of Red. It's one of my favorite scenes. But there's been other times where I couldn't sleep, or I couldn't focus on whatever I was doing, and I'll just have to stop and just go write for a little bit.
Right.
What about writer's block? Do you ever get writer's block?
Absolutely. I think every good writer, it happens. I mean, for a long time, it didn't happen, and I was like, oh, man, that never happens to me. You know, I don't ever get writer's block, but after I published my most recent book, I was completely blocked and starting the second. I mean, it was just absolutely, I was completely lazy. I mean, the ideas weren't coming to me. I knew what I wanted to write because I had mapped it all out during writing the book, the first book. So I knew what needed to be written. It didn't flow. And you can't push it. Because if you push it, then it's forced and it sounds terrible.
Right.
And, you know, then there was a time where I started a book, and it was supposed to be my current book, and Slumber came to me as I'm writing this other book, and I'm like, this is what writer's block is. You know, it's, you can't focus on this book. And another book is like, excuse me, I need some attention over here. So I had to stop. And, you know, Who We Were, my book Who We Were, it's a standalone romance for young adult. And I was writing Slumber. And this happened a year ago. And Who We Were came to my head. And I'm like, this is really irritating. So, you know, there are times where I get blocked and I just decide I just need a break. You know, I just need time to watch TV and be with my family and read. And I have to take that time because you can't be stressed out when you're writing.
Do you ever have a fear? Because I know you're a big reader, and so am I. But I always have a fear. I don't read when I'm working on a project. When I finish a book, I will read a whole bunch of books. I'll take a break and I'll read a whole bunch of books, and then I will start another project. Because I have this constant fear that I am going to inadvertently use somebody else's ideas in my work. Like if I'm in the middle of working on my vampire series, I won't read anything vampire. I will read everything but that. If I'm doing Oceans of Red, then there's no post-apocalyptic stuff. It is just vampires or whatever. Do you ever have that concern? Is that something we all share, you think? Or am I just off?
Writing Slumber, while I was writing Slumber, Yep, see my 5-year-old. I'm done coloring, she said. While I was writing Slumber, I did not read any fantasy novels. Or any, retelling of, Sleeping Beauty or even any of the princesses. I just didn't. And, you know, it's kind of the same feeling that you had. I didn't want someone to compare it to what I was reading, but I have to read every night, so I can't sleep unless I do. So it was kind of like I kind of do the same thing you do. I will read anything but what I'm writing, so I do understand that, but I have to read. I can't not read at all. But I won't read the genre that I'm writing about. So I can agree with you. Yeah, I can agree with you there.
What do you think what was that question I was going to ask you? Do you require a special atmosphere, environment? For myself, if I'm going to be writing and it's going to be productive writing, I need total silence. I will listen to
total
music
silence.
Ahead
mm-hmm.
of time to get me in the mood, but then I need the house. There's been times I have kicked the dog outside because he was scratching too loud and it was irritating.
Right.
Do
well,
you, and I like
to
have a candle lit. I like to have, what's that?
You don't listen to music at all. You just have to have complete silence.
I have to have complete, when in the first draft, it's got to be complete silence.
Okay.
When I do, now when I go through to beef it up and go through the second draft, I listen
mm-hmm.
to music. I try to listen to music that goes along with each scene in the book. It helps me emote and get more detailed with descriptions of actions and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But in the initial stage, in that first rough draft, I have to have complete and total silence. So you do that.
I have to have music, but my kids have to be completely quiet. So I cannot write unless they're asleep. And some kids take longer to fall asleep than others.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody's calling my house, like, don't you know I'm on the radio? Like, come on, people. Jeez, so rude. I have to have the radio on. And I agree with you where it has to be music that goes along with what you're writing. So I listen to a lot of Pandora radio. Or sometimes it's like a CD that I'll pop in the computer or whatever I've downloaded.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason why my kids have to be asleep is I have my headphones on. And there have been times that I keep it dark and I keep a candle lit or a low lighting.
Mm-hmm.
And they have creeped up on me while I was writing The Brown House.
Scared you up to death, huh?
Where I jumped so high out of that chair. Unbelievable. So, I can't have complete silence because my brain isn't focused. It's really strange. It's hard to explain. But if the kids are awake, I just can't do it. I can't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm too attuned. As a mom, you're too attuned to your kids and you're like, what's that sound? Are they calling
right.
me? Do they need me? So, like, when I have my headphones on, I know they're asleep and they're okay, and I can put my headphones on and just disappear into the story.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it does have to be dark. I don't know. I guess for paranormal writers, it's got to be creepy in the house. I don't know. But I have had some creepy things happen while writing the Brown House series, the Visitor series. So,
oh, really?
So, yeah. And I don't think my house is haunted. I really don't. But I don't know if it's like I opened up something while writing these pretty creepy scenes, but weird
mm-hmm.
stuff has happened. I mean, it hasn't happened, like, recently, because I'm not really writing paranormal, I'm writing fantasy. But every time I get into that paranormal, it's like I open a portal or something. And I'm like, hey, guys, come on in and visit me.
Have you ever written something that just when you were done, you were freaked out? It just freaked you out? That you're like,
yeah.
Wow,
oh,
I can't
absolutely.
Believe I just wrote that.
Yeah, oh, you get chills. And it's, you know, call it whatever you want, but you're proud of yourself. You know,
mm-hmm.
you look back and you go, oh, my gosh, that was so awesome. I can't believe I just wrote that. You know, and that's part of, like, believing in your too as a writer.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you don't reread what you wrote and go, that was cool, or I can't believe that just came out of me, you know, then you're not really believing in your writing. If you look back and you go, that doesn't make any sense, or and it was okay, then it probably needs to be rewritten.
Yeah, I agree. I think you know, intrinsically you know Maybe not so much in the beginning, because in the beginning, as a new writer, I was so in love with my words, girl. Oh, I was so in love with my words.
Yeah, me too.
And then I met this wonderful author. Her name is J.L. Spellbring. So for those of you that are listening, if you haven't heard of J.L. Spellbring, go check her out. She's got an awesome book series. The first one's called Perfection in the series. Anyhow, and the second one's Flawed, and I can't remember what the third one is. But I met her in a writer's group online, and she taught me so much that I did not know about writing. We were book buddies, we're writing buddies, and she would send me the manuscript she was working on. I would send her mine, and we would go through and just trash it, just shred them apart.
Right.
Just, I don't like this, I don't like that. And it was so helpful, but it was so hard for me in the beginning to learn to...
It's hard to swallow.
You write a whole chapter, and then all of a sudden, it's got to be rewritten. You're like, well, it took me days to write
like
those 5,000 words. And to just, you know, delete it and start over, or big chunks, big paragraphs here and there that have to come out. And it was very difficult for me to learn to chop the words down and start over. Now it's no big deal. Now I'll go back and read it and go, oh, no way, and just, you know, highlight it and it's gone. And then I think, what am I doing? I obviously have not had enough coffee today. So it was hard for you to learn to do that too then.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I'm a big wimp. I am not part of a writer's group. I don't, not that I don't take criticism well, but, you know, it's hard. And it's hard to criticize other people because you don't want to make them mad, you know, and some people really get very offended. Like, you know, like they'll end their friendship with you if you don't like their books. I mean, I have been there and, you know, I've been criticized recently for my book, and I'll tell you what, it was not easy to take, and I just was like, you know what? That was hurtful. I mean, there's a way to do it where it's not hurtful, and there's a way that people just come across very rude, and I'm like, that was really kind of rude. You know, you just should not have
sometimes been they get
said
very
like
personal.
That. Yes.
Sometimes they get very personal. I've noticed an uptrend in, let's talk about bad reviews. Reviews, you know,
sure.
I've had so many new writers say, you know, what do you do about reviews? My advice is always, you do nothing. You say
absolutely nothing. Yep.
I don't care if they say that your kid is the ugliest kid on the planet or whatever they say that's personal, you say nothing.
Yep.
However,
yep.
You can't help but internalize that in some ways.
Right.
And you're going to get bad reviews. I think
absolutely.
Thick skin is important. That is one of the most important qualities that you can nurture and grow as an author because there is always going to be somebody out there ready to take your head off.
Yep, always. And it could just be because they don't like the way you look.
Right.
Which is
we've seen that.
But that's the way of the world.
In, you know, the last, I'd say year, and I'm not going to say her name because I don't want to cause any more trouble for her, but there was an author in particular who's doing very, very well, by the way, and is an amazing, amazing writer, had some seriously harsh comments flung at her. Degrading her simply because of her appearance. It had nothing to do with her writing. It was a pretty big ordeal in the writing community, at least for those of us that know her. And it kind of just blew up. It became this big, ugly thing. It's what am I trying to say here? It is unfair. As an author, If you don't like my books, A, I'm sorry you spent money on something you didn't like. And I genuinely mean that. I'm sorry that you bought it and you didn't like it. However, I have eaten cheeseburgers that were cold from McDonald's before, and, you know, if you're paying 99
yep.
cents for a book or, you know, whatever, you
which is
suck
a
it
dang
up. You know, I'm
bargain,
sorry, like.
Let me tell you.
Yeah, well, you pay more than yep. that for a cup of coffee that might taste like crap.
That's right.
So,
yep.
you know.
And for that cheeseburger that was cold, you paid
right.
more for that, I guarantee.
Right.
So,
but you do have a right.
That someone wrote.
Right. You do have a right to your opinion. If you don't like it and you
absolutely.
Think it's garbage and you want to say, I don't like it, I think it's garbage, that I have no problem with that. I have no problem
right.
with that. My problem yeah. comes in with this when they get personal. And I had somebody,
mm-hmm.
one of the funniest reviews I've ever had was a one-star review. And they said something about, I apparently like blowing smoke up my own arse. That's how they put it, A-R-S-E.
Mm-hmm.
And I just laughed because I heard this little old British lady in my head talking with the way they said it. And it's still one of my favorite reviews because it's hysterical. And he
right.
did not like my book. He did not like it
right.
even a little bit. And that's okay with me. I still would like
right.
to at some point meet the guy and shake his hand because I crack up every time I read that review again.
Right.
I had one review where they said that I had the vocabulary of a sixth grader, which I found really hysterical because
mm-hmm.
at the time I had a daughter that was a senior in high school who wouldn't read my books because she said I used too many big words. So
okay.
I was
yeah.
like, well, okay. Sixth grade vocabulary. I wonder what school
yeah.
you went to. But you don't say
yeah.
anything. You can't say anything
no.
publicly
no.
because the backlash, and let's talk
is
about that too, this whole
terrible.
Author's behaving badly thing.
Sure.
Well, what's your opinion on this? Because there's been
well,
some crazy stuff going on with that as well.
Absolutely. It seems to be going on recently as well. And, you know, last year there was an author who, like, found someone's, and I won't say her name either, but she's a big-time published author, and she found this person's address who gave her a really crappy review and, like, literally went to this girl's house and, like, screamed at her. So,
I heard about that.
You know, I mean, I just, you know, I know we're not all mentally stable. You can't really be when you're an author. You can't really be mentally stable. We're a little crazy. But there's a way to present yourself and there's a way to act. And you have to take the crap. I mean, I prior to being an author, I worked in a dental office and I worked the front desk and I took a lot of crap. I mean, I basically got screamed at because they didn't want to pay their
right.
bill. So I was kind of used to it. But this is a bit different. I mean, no one's really screaming at me, but it's funny how words can hurt on the internet just as bad as,
right.
you know,
right.
someone like in your face. But
right.
I, you know, with my first book and I got bad reviews, like there were times I cried.
Mm-hmm.
But now I read the bad reviews and I just go, yeah, it's pretty crappy. And so I have like the group of people I talk to and I'm like, read this, you know, and we'll read it and they'll tell me, you know, they'll help talk me down. Like, you know,
mm-hmm.
don't do anything. And I'm like, I know, I would never. But they're like, you know, this is just one person's, you know, one person's thoughts and one person's perspective. I'm like, I agree. And then at the end of the day, I look at how many good reviews there are opposed
mm-hmm.
to how many bad. But I have seen newer authors just acting bad, like you said, on Facebook. Like, you know, this whole, like, paragraph of how they're not going to put up with it and, you know, this, that. I'm just like, I cringe. And I'm like, dude.
Yeah.
You need to act a certain way. You are now pretty much a public figure. I mean, no. Are we as famous as actors? No. But there are people who follow our pages.
Right.
And you can't just go on there and mouth off and not expect people to give you their opinion.
Right.
So,
well, for us
know.
Especially, I feel like, because you and I both write YA, I think it's highly important that we set ourselves up as role models, because children are reading our book. If they are paying attention and they're on our fan pages and whatnot, I believe that it is our duty to these readers to act in a professional manner and set ourselves up as role models. You can't go on and say, I'm totally against bullying, and then become a bully, because your word is worthless at that point.
And everything's in writing. And nowadays, when you go on and spout your mouth off, that's in writing for everyone to see. And if you want to get far in this business, you really need to watch what you say in writing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, a personal message between you and another author is different, especially if it's someone you trust.
Mm-hmm.
But don't go on your personal fan page and just spout off about people's bad reviews. I mean, there was a Twitter war going on a few weeks back between two pretty popular authors. And, I mean, this one author was tearing this girl down about the type of book she wrote and begging people not to buy it. I mean,
wow.
She ruined that girl's career. And I had said this in a group of other authors that I had joined, and I said, you know, I feel like we need to support each other. And they didn't agree with me. There were a few of them that did not agree. And they said, we don't need to support each other at all. And I just was, like, taken aback, like, are you kidding? You know, everyone's against us. And there are a sea of us, and there are new authors coming in every day. And if we don't have each other's back, we're never going to make it.
Right.
You know? And,
I agree.
Like
I think for if you want to have a career that has, in this industry, that has any sort of longevity, and it's very sad to say, but I have seen many authors pop up. They'll put out 1, 2, 3 books, and then they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
And you never see or hear from them again.
Right.
Some just because they give up, because let's face it, sales can sometimes be incredibly disheartening.
It's very hard.
It's very hard. It's difficult to ever get to a point, really, where you can support yourself. You got to work really hard, and you got to be in for the long haul. And part of that planning that career path and having that longevity is your personal behavior, because you're not just selling books, you're not just selling wares, you're selling you.
Yes.
And if people don't like you, they're not gonna buy your books. You know, there's a certain store that I won't name. What's that?
I said it's all about being likable.
Yes, and trustworthy. I think that people need to be able to trust you. I'm very careful, not with my adult books, so anybody that's listening, don't turn around and say, oh, no, you don't, because you swear in your adult books.
Yeah.
I'm very careful with what happens in my YA, because I have a lot of great nieces and nephews. I have grandchildren that are growing up, and I don't want to ever have to say, no, you can't read Grandma's book, because this is not appropriate for you. And I certainly don't want a pack of irate mothers coming after me with pitchforks, because I wrote something that offended their sensitivities. So I try to be very careful with my YA stuff, and the stuff that's adult. I'm very clear on, this is an adult book. Don't let your child read this book. I have even my Haunted series, which is as clean can get. Because of the subject matter, I tell people, and I think it's even on my reviews, if you're getting this for your child, you should read it first.
Right.
Don't just hand it over to a child, because some of that stuff is scary.
It is scary. I agree.
So anyhow, back to, I'm sorry, I just totally drifted off topic.
That's okay. I do that too.
I think that, that we agree then that it's that's really important to put out a professional persona.
Absolutely. Yep.
And try to keep it as stable as possible. Now, when I say that, though, I don't want to be misunderstood, because there are certain things that I am very passionate about that may not be PC. And I do talk about them. You know, gay rights is a big thing for me. I have a daughter that's lesbian, so that's a huge thing for me. And I do speak about that frequently. However, I try to do it professional manner. Because we have a right to our opinions on
absolutely
today's
just like
topic.
Anybody else does. Right.
And I do think that when you've gotten to a point, and I didn't for a while. For a long time, I just kept my mouth shut and everything was just strictly writing. But I think when you get to a point where you have some sort of reach, that you should use that for what you consider to be good. You should stand up for what you believe in.
Absolutely. And, I mean, I don't really talk about it a lot on my personal, my author page, but my husband is a police officer. And I do speak about it on my personal page. And I don't always agree with everything that's going on. But I do not talk about it on my author page, and not because I'm scared or not because, you know, I'm ashamed of him being a police officer, but because the backlash has been awful. And, you know, I mean, that's not exactly fair for me, but, you know, I don't want to lose readers just because they don't agree with me. But if you're on my personal page, which I do have some readers who've been with me for a long time, and I do have them on my personal page, and, you know, like, a lot of them, they help support, you know, they help support me, and they know it's not easy for me, because I think that they can see what it's like from my perspective. And I do, like you, support gay rights, and I do post that. But you know what? Another thing is, if I do happen to post something and you don't agree with it and I lose you as a fan, you know, I'm sorry, but it's, you know, it's just one person's opinion. And if you don't agree, then that's fine.
Right. I feel the same way. I feel the same way. These different causes that I'm very passionate about. It's okay with me. No, I don't expect anyone to agree with me ever, because I'm used to being the oddball. And if you want to unfriend me or unlike my page, then so be it. But I'm still going to stand up for what I believe to be right, because, you know, it's that old saying, he who stands for nothing falls for everything. And I do believe that. I believe you have to, as human beings, we have to take stands. At some point, we are required to stand up and say, this is wrong. Even if it's somebody that doesn't agree with me and is totally on the other end of that spectrum, I still accept and respect their right to stand up and say, I believe this is wrong.
Right. I agree.
I won't get into a Facebook fight with anyone. I have one of my best friends. I love this girl so much. We went to school together. I mean, all the way from middle school on up through high school. And we have 180 degrees between our opinions on certain subjects that are very near and dear to my heart. And we will get on the phone and debate these things like crazy. But you'll never see us do it on Facebook. Never.
No. Absolutely, yeah.
And she's still one of my best friends. I absolutely love her. We're like night and day. And those kind of people are good for you. They're good in your life because...
Yes, they are, yes.
They keep you grounded, you know. And she has some very convincing debate tactics at times, but... she has not yet swayed me to her opinion.
Right.
Okay, let's move on here, because we're running down at 10:49. By the way, if you're listening and you have a question or a comment you'd like to make, please feel free to call in. The phone number is 714-242-5259. Or if you're in chat and you would like to ask a question, go right ahead and we will try to address it as quickly as possible. Let's get to the difficulties. You know, you'd mentioned about your husband being a police officer, which is that's a rough job, being married to a cop.
It is.
And it's terrifying. Yes. It's terrifying.
It is.
You never know what's going to happen. That's
right.
A very dangerous job.
Mm-hmm.
And you have all of this, you know, you have your children and all of this going on in your life. And how do you cope with just stress, with the stress of, I got to get this book done. I need to have it to the publisher at this time, or this should be the release date. And you've got all this other stuff going on. What's your coping mechanisms for this?
Well, it is stressful. It's not easy. And I knew that going into the relationship with him, but did I really know what it was going to be like? No, I thought, oh, yeah, he's a cop. I'll be alone certain nights. It'll be fine. But then when we had our first daughter, I was like, what in the world? This
yeah.
is insane. But as the years have gone by, we've been together 11 years, I've just learned to cope in different ways. And honestly, I've been off of work for 5 years to raise my five-year-old. And the best way to cope is to stay off of Facebook, to stop reading the articles that are posted about, you know, the hating articles, and not to go into too much detail with certain people who are against it, and to read a lot. I mean, the escape that reading gives me is the stress-free way of not thinking about how awful it is that I just said goodbye to him, and every time he leaves the door, I think to myself, really stare at him, because this could be the last time you see him.
Yeah.
And then he leaves, and I close and lock the door. I have to take a deep breath, and then it's like, okay, I have to be mom. And having my girls being so young and dependent upon me is helpful, too, because you have to be strong for them. And there are nights where I feel like I just want to break down and run and grab him and tell him, don't go to work, but I can't.
Mm-hmm.
So reading is a huge escape. I'm a huge Supernatural fan, so I watch a lot of
Yay.
TV.
Yay!
Yep. Woohoo!
Dean or Sam? Dean or Sam?
Dean all the way.
Dean's my
Sam,
boy.
I love Sam, but God, he's so irritating sometimes.
You know, I used to be all about Sam, and then he turned into a whiner.
He's so whiny. Come on, Sam.
He's so emotional.
He is. He just wants to sit and have a discussion at the end of every show. I'm like, knock it off, dude. I'm a huge Dean fan. I like Grimm.
Grimm.
So all the paranormal shows are my thing, and I've been rewatching One Tree Hill, and that like takes me back to my like youth. So I do escape through TV, and I escape through my writing. Especially, did consider writing a book about a wife who's a police wife, but then, you know, I don't think I could do it. I mean, it's a thought
it's
in the back of my head.
Home, maybe.
But yeah, it's too close to home. Too close. So, you know, books are huge for me. I have way too many books, but then I have time to read. But I feel like everybody can escape and get stress free. I mean, that, you know, there are times where it's really hard and you got to sit down and have a good cry, but also, it's your relationships with people that help get you through. And I've met a lot of people on Facebook, actually, and it's really funny how some of your closest friends don't even live in the same state as you. So it's, you know, it's talking to them and joking and laughing, get your mind off of it.
We have a question in the chat room, Christy. Lynn Shaw says, hi, Christy. Lynn from Savannah,
hi,
Georgia.
Lynn.
Slumber puts you on the map as an international best-selling author. Where were you, and describe the moment when you first found out?
I was at the table, just on my phone, you know, just sitting at my kitchen table, checking the numbers, you know, on day of release, you always check your numbers.
Oh,
it's like
yeah.
Something you do, like a moron, because sometimes they can be really disappointing, but I went into it without any expectation.
Right.
Because this is my 9th book. I'm like, you know, we'll just see how it is. I checked the UK numbers, and I was like, oh, my God. I actually just hit bestseller in the UK. Then I checked Canada, and I hit bestseller in Canada. And I hit USA bestseller. So Slumber is the first book that ever put me on the map, like she said, for international. And so I pick up my phone. I'm crying. And I filmed the moment because I wanted to let everyone know how thankful I was. And, you know, I posted it to Instagram. I posted it to Facebook because people had really helped me. And I was just so thankful.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Slumber's a big one for me. I mean, it's a book that has taken me further than any book ever. And, I mean, it was just released a few months ago. So it's kind of incredible.
And you never know, really. You never know when you're in the writing stages what's going to happen. You just never know.
No, absolutely not.
There's certain things. There's certain things you may think when it's done. Wow, this is it. This would be the one that put me on the map, and then it just tanks.
I thought that for Who We Were. Yes. My contemporary romance, I thought, well, I'm going to stop writing the paranormal for just a minute because this book, it's kind of based on, like, my experience in high school, and it just was begging to be written, and I thought, this is going to be the one, and it just totally wasn't. So, you never know.
You never know. You never know what's going to hit.
Mm-hmm.
That's why people, if you're a writer and you're listening, keep at it. Keep at it. Don't give up. Now is not the time to give up.
No.
It may take 500 books for you to hit.
It might.
You know what?
Yep.
Once you do, everything else starts to go too. So.
Right. Yep.
That's awesome. I can't imagine. I think that your response to that. The taping the video, making the video, is amazing. And I'm sure that your fans absolutely loved seeing that. That
I think
probably
they were just
meant
like,
a lot to them.
Wow, this girl's like bawling. But, you know, I was so emotional. It had never happened that, you know, I just knew.
Well, for us, that's like an Oscar.
I tried to get personable with them. Yeah, absolutely.
It's like,
it's like Oscar.
I was not in a fancy dress. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, would I like to win an award someday for my writing? Absolutely. I would love that. I mean, there are things I still want, but hitting bestseller in other countries was one of the things upon many that I would like to achieve. But Slumber has done really well, and I absolutely loved writing it.
It's a fantastic occurrence. Lynn says, Who We Were is an amazing book, and true fans and followers of Christy who read it can see her growth as a writer. It was an amazing read.
Thank you, Lynn.
Very
sweet.
That's wonderful. I'll tell you what, let's talk about our readers. I know for myself, I am so terribly grateful for every last one of them. I try to go on the fan page every so often and just say, you know, look, thanks for being here. Thanks for being in my corner and whatnot, because without them, we are nothing.
We're nothing.
Stories in a computer file that nobody will ever read. So what would you say? What would you say to your readers right now?
Well, just thank you for sticking with me. Avery Snow came out, and, you know, it wasn't the best. I can say that. You know, I'll admit it. It wasn't the best. I mean, I do have people who loved it, like I said, but they all stuck with me, and they believed in me, and they kept me writing. And if they didn't stick with me, I wouldn't be writing, because it's so easy to just give up in
yeah.
this business. It's so easy to tear yourself down and to go, you know what, I'm done. The doubt is just so overwhelming. But it's when I'm feeling that way that I log on to Facebook or I go on to Instagram and I get all these messages, or I see people posting themselves, you know, a picture with my book, that I go, oh my gosh, they really made my day. So it's the little things that you guys do that keep us going. And I know that sounds so lame, but it's so true. But, you know,
oh, I don't
could
think
just
it sounds
be
lame.
Well, because you're a writer. But, you know, like, if they just made a picture, like, you know, I've been getting edits from fans on Instagram of them, you know, writing their favorite part of Slumber, and I just, sometimes I cry. I'm like, oh, my God, this
yeah.
is beautiful. You know, I mean, my words, like, really made them feel an emotion, and thank you, you know, because that's, when I'm writing, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying,
right.
like, allow you to love these characters. And,
right.
you know, Slumber, I had huge doubts when I was writing Slumber, like, people are not going to like this. And I didn't want it to be compared to Maleficent, the movie that just came out a few years
uh-huh.
ago. And I was worried people would compare it, because I had started writing it before Maleficent came out. And then I was like, I need to stop writing this, because I want to watch the movie first. And then when I watched the movie, I said, oh, nothing like that. So I knew I was good. You know, I was clear. And,
uh-huh.
you know, I mean, I still got the bad reviews where people were like, this is too much like Sleeping Beauty, like the original. And I'm like, this is nothing like Sleeping Beauty, but it's a retelling. So there has to be a little bit.
Right. There
I
has
mean, that's
to be
what
element.
A retelling is. Yes. Yeah.
Lynn asked another question. She said, have you picked a title for the second book in the Slumber duology? Do you have an estimated release day, and can you tease a little of the story for us?
Okay. I did want to talk about that, actually. So thank you, Lynn, for asking that question. The second book, which, because it's a duology, is called Awaken. If you haven't read Slumber, I can't really tell you why it's called Awaken, but you have to read it to find out. But my estimated release date, right now I don't know, but I do know it will be published this year. I will not make people wait a full year. I hate when people do that.
Mm-hmm.
I understand why certain people do that with the big publishers, but I don't really want to do that. So I am considering fall or early winter for the release date. To tease a little bit, I can say that that there will be a rekindling of a romance, and that when you felt that feeling of, oh, my God, at the end, I can tell you that it'll all be worth it in the end. In the second book, and you'll be, I think they'll all be pretty pleased.
Sounds good. Who did your cover for Slumber? Because that is an amazing cover.
Thank you. She's actually a model. Her name is Kirsten Ledford. She lives in Georgia. She's an absolute doll. She's gorgeous. A friend of mine, Georgia Skies Photography, she agreed to do the photo shoot. And then Katie from KC Designs made the cover, and oh my gosh, it's everything that I wanted it to be. It's beautiful.
Oh, it is gorgeous.
I have to say, it's one of my favorites out of all my covers.
It is really eye-catching, for sure.
Thank you.
When I
yeah,
grabbed
I love
your
it.
Banner the other day, and I was just looking at the banner going, wow, that's...
Yeah, it's gorgeous. And I like getting my own models. Yeah, she's very, they're both very talented, the photographer and the artist. I mean, I don't like using stock photography. I like to use my own models, and in my series, the Visitor series, the last book, The White Door, that's my niece on the cover.
Cool.
So, yeah. So I don't like to get people that people are going to see again and go, oh, I know that girl. I saw her. It's on another cover. I hate that. And I don't like to be compared to anyone else. I'm trying to be an original. But Who We Were, those are two other models from Georgia. It's actually the photographer's son and his friend. So I really try to keep it like, you know, I like to have teens on the cover of my teen books.
Mm-hmm.
It's a huge pet peeve for me.
Yeah. Well, it's difficult. I think it's difficult when you're cover. Let's talk about cover creation.
Okay.
While we're on this topic.
Sure.
Do you have a set idea of what you want? When
yes.
You do?
Before the book is even done, like, I already know what I want my cover to look like. I'm really weird like that. And you can ask Stacey Rourke. I, like, hound her about, what do you think about this idea? And what do you think about that? And she's like, dude, you need to write the book first. I'm like, but I'm so visual and artistic, and I need the cover first. But, of course, your mind can change after the book's written.
Mm-hmm.
But I pretty much have everything planned out of exactly what I want. And I do have a street team. And so I will converse with them about, what do you guys think about this for a cover? And their honesty really does help, because one girl, she was so honest, and I really appreciate her honesty. She was like, that would creep me out. I'm like, okay. You know, because who do we do the covers for? Not for ourselves. The cover
right.
sells the book. So if they hate the cover, why would we put, you know, why wouldn't we have a cover that pleases us? You know, you want it to please the reader. And, you know, you do want to, you know, you want to be like, yeah, that's cool, you know.
Are you doing, Lynn wants to know, are you doing any book signings this year? And if so, where?
I am doing a book signing this year. I don't do a lot, but I am doing two in New Jersey. They will be up on my website. The big one that I'm going to is Carolina Book Fest in North Carolina, in Charlotte, and that's August 15th. I'm really excited about that because there's going to be 80 authors. And I'm a little nervous because 80 authors is a lot to compete with, but
mm-hmm.
I'm really pumped for that one. That's the biggest convention that I'm doing or have ever done. So I'm really excited about that one.
And that's in North Carolina?
Yes, Charlotte, North Carolina, on August 15th.
And where do you live? I don't even know where you live. That's terrible. I should know that.
I live in New Jersey.
You live in New Jersey? Oh, and you don't have a New Jersey accent.
Oh, no, because I was originally from California. So that's why I don't sound like a New Jersey girl. I moved here 12 years ago. So I don't have a Jersey accent. No, I refuse to talk in a Jersey accent. But I don't call water wooder like they do out here. I don't call a car a car. That's just, you know.
Do you drink coffee? Do you drink coffee?
No, I drink coffee, like a normal person, not coffee. But, yeah, I do live in New Jersey. I live in southern New Jersey. Yeah. And I do have two signings locally in New Jersey, one in Franklin Township, if anyone's listening, they're from Franklinville, which I seriously doubt, and then one in Smithville, New Jersey. It's a pretty big one, but not as big as the North Carolina one. I'm really, really excited for that one.
Well, great. So everybody, if you're listening, you know where to track down if you'd like to get a signed copy of one of her books. What is your website? You mentioned your website. What's the address?
It's www.christysloat.com.
Okay. Real easy to find, and you can find Christy on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter.
Mm-hmm. And Twitter.
Did you join the TSU? Folks, did you get a TSU account?
I did, but I did not do well on that. I do not have a huge following on TSU, and when that was all going on, I just joined Instagram instead.
Mm-hmm.
And try to just follow Instagram. It's so hard to keep track of all these social media.
Oh, yeah.
So I am there, but I'm mostly bounced between Facebook and Instagram and Twitter.
Let's talk about the marketing. Do you have time to go just a little bit longer? Because I know we're
sure.
over the
mm-hmm.
hour at this point.
We are. Yeah, that's
let's
fine.
Talk about, this is my least favorite part of this job, is marketing and promoting.
Me
I think
too.
All of us are that way, yeah?
Yeah, I think that it's not the most fun part of the job.
No, it's definitely, it's time intensive. Juggling social media is problematic and difficult because you're constantly waffling between, I need to write, I need to do this, I've got dishes to do and laundry to do, and then I need to spend 2.5 hours promoting.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
you have a street team, so that is incredibly helpful. I would be
yeah,
in dire straits without my street team. These girls are just amazing, wonderful people who just out of the kindness of their heart decide, hey, we're going to help her.
Yeah. Yep, I agree.
And that's wonderful. But where do you fit it in? Where do you fit in all of that extra promoting?
Well, I fit it in, like I said, when Kendall, my littlest, is like playing Barbies or, you know, she's outside, I'm on my phone. And I know that sounds terrible. Like, what kind of parent are you? But, you know, I mean, if I'm to take a picture and post it on Instagram, or I'm just going to chat real quick on Facebook, I mean, it really doesn't
mm-hmm.
take that long. But I am going back and answering questions, and I'm posting to my street team. I have 3 tiers to my street team. I have, like, a lower level, an intermediate level, and a high level. And there are certain things I post in the intermediate and the higher level that I don't post in the start-off level. And I hope
mm-hmm.
that makes some sort of sense. But if you want to earn your way and move up, you do have to, like, do a little bit more work. And it's fun. But, you know, they do so much for me. They'll read the finished book, and they'll tell me, you know, exactly how they feel about it, which is so important. But, you know, social media is, like, the only way to get out there. And Facebook has made it very difficult to interact
with
fans.
Oh, yeah, incredibly so.
I mean, they want you to pay to promote yourself, and whereas before it was just so much easier. I felt like I had doing a promotion or doing a release was so much easier back in the day. I mean, all you had to do was post it, and then, you know, I had like 1,000 comments. Now it's like 2 people like it, and that's pretty much it. So I think that's just going to be the way it is. It's just they are making it difficult to interact with your readers. They just don't want you to do it anymore. And
well, they want paid.
That is challenging. Well, they want money, and everywhere else wants money. But, you know, if you're an author, you're not rich. You know, people think, I'm going to be so rich, I'm going to have all this money. That is not how it is. People that are close to me, they know it's hard. And the money that, you know, it's money spent all year long to promote yourself. It's not easy. So, you know, people, you know, I've had people like in my, you know, they were friends and they were like, you know, you let the money get to your head. I'm like, what money?
What money?
You don't even understand. Yeah, I don't make any money. Like, that's not why I do this.
I think there's an assumption. Especially if you have a book that does very well, there's an assumption that you're suddenly quite affluent. And because have you gotten any of the emails yet? I've had emails to my fan mail before of people mm-hmm. asking me for money.
For money.
Can you help me with this utility bill or whatever?
Right.
And I'm always shocked when I get it because I'm thinking, wow, I was wishing I had somebody to ask to help with my utility bill.
I get emails of people asking me to donate to help them release a book, and I just laugh. And I'm just like, you know, for certain things, if it's someone trying to put a company together in the beginning stages, and I feel compassionate and I feel like, yes, I would love to see this as an author, then I will donate. But if you're trying to put a book out there and you're asking me for money, it's just kind of like shocking. Like, I'm busy spending my own money trying to put my own book out. And, you know, while I just wish them good luck, I will not donate money for that. And that's just kind of funny, you know, like, and then talking about money making, my daughter starts kindergarten in September. So what's going to be really difficult is I have to go back to work. So it's going to be really hard to manage everything that I do now and writing. But will I stop writing? Absolutely not. It's become a part of me that I can't just stop. That would be absurd. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to have to learn how to manage. But, you know, I can't imagine sitting here. It's what?
It almost becomes an addiction, don't you think?
It is. It is an addiction. And my husband, I love you, Joe, but he thinks it's a hobby. And I just try to tell him, this is not a hobby for me. This is something I need to do. And it's, you know, I can't just go, oh, well, you know, I don't feel like doing that anymore. It's not like going to Zumba, you know.
Right.
It's a passion. You know, I'm very passionate about it. And
I think a lot
girls,
go ahead, sorry.
That's okay. Go ahead.
I think a lot of the authors I talk to run into the same issue with not just significant others and spouses, but also with their actual family and friends even, that they don't really look at it as a job because you get to stay home.
Exactly. Yep.
I've run into that before. I've written on Facebook for the whole world to see I'm writing today. And everyone that knows me, that's everyone in my inner circle that has my phone number, knows if I say I'm writing today, don't call me. But there are certain people who almost take that as a challenge to, oh, well, I wonder if I'm important enough for her to answer the phone.
I wonder if she'll pick up. Yeah.
And I used to just go ahead and answer the phone and whatever, and now I just don't. I don't.
No. If I say I'm writing, do not call me. I swear, every time I go to sit down and write and my husband is at work, he calls me. It's like he knows I'm in the middle of a book, and he's like, hey, babe, what you doing? And how do I not talk to him? You know, like, I can't not do that. So there are certain people I answer the phone for, but what I find
funny children. If my children call and I'm writing,
absolutely.
I will.
Because
it could be an emergency, but there's no hello.
Just be like, hey, I just want to talk, which is, you're going to answer that phone call regardless. It's your kid. But my, I have to say, my mom has always been very supportive. She reads every book. And she's not a huge reader, but she buys every book and reads every book. And her husband reads every book. So it's like fascinating.
That's wonderful.
To me. And well, they really connected through The Many Lives of Avery Snow, and their relationship is so much like my characters. And I wrote that book before they even got together. But they actually got tattoos that represent that story, because that's how much they felt that story was written for them. And that's like amazing. Yeah, so, you know, my husband's never written – he's never read any of my books, but I don't really let it bother me because he's just, you know, it's not for him, you know. Would I love for him someday to? Yeah, sure. My kids are way too young. My 9-year-old Sunday, when she gets a little older, she can read them. But, you know, there's just subject matter. There's not like a lot of curse words that I don't want her to read. I write pretty clean, but. Yeah, I mean, friends, funny, some friends have not read not one of my books.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, and I know they're big readers. So that's funny to me that they don't read them, but that's their choice.
I had a niece, one of my nieces started reading my book. She started with Birthright. And mm-hmm. it cracked me up because after she read it, I said, so what did you think about it? And she said, you know, I'm going to have to read it again because all the way through I kept thinking, I cannot believe this was my aunt that wrote this.
Uh-huh.
And I started laughing. She says, well, you don't talk like that. When you
right.
talk to me, you don't talk. Well, I'm like, well, no, but I'm generally not telling you stories, Haley.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
If I was telling you a story, I might insert dialogue and action, but...
Right.
It was just funny. Her reaction was, it was just really, it really kind of freaked her out, she said. And then she's gone on and I think she's read just about everything I put out. I don't think she's read Barry Kelly yet.
And that's awesome. But they don't understand how this stuff can come out of us. But that's
right.
not a side we always let everyone see.
Right. Well, no, because they would think we were psychotic.
Yes, exactly. What is wrong with you?
I'm seeing this wonderful man, and we had gone to the gym together, and leaving the gym, he turned the corner, and the car went dun-dun-dun-dun like that. It was just this loud uh-huh. thumping noise from the back of the car, and he started laughing, and he says, I'm not going to fix that because I'm getting a new car. And I said, oh, okay. And then I just... without thinking, said, so is that what happened to your last girlfriend? She rolling around the back of your trunk?
And he instantly had a story, didn't you?
But he was mortified that I would say that to him.
Oh.
He just was shocked. And then he started laughing, and he says, you have the darkest sense of humor. And I'm like, well, you don't know my friends.
Right, absolutely.
You meet a couple of my writer friends. I'm telling you, we come up with some stuff.
Yes. Me too. I've plotted people's murders with a certain author, and we're not serious.
Right.
But, you know, you could get pretty morbid as a writer.
Right. Well, and it gets to the point where it's just fun. And
yeah,
just the whole concept of the plot is fun. I've done that with other friends of mine that are writers. It'll start off as a joke. Somebody will say, I've got a shovel. And I'll say, I've got a place
right.
we can dig a hole. And the next thing you know,
yeah.
we're in this long, drawn-out, one-hour conversation about how we're going to kill this person, which we would never do. And I don't think that
Absolutely.
Normal people do that. I think that it's something that is strictly left to writers and psychopaths.
Yes. Because
I can't imagine... The conversations that I have with other writers, I would never have with a normal person on the street, probably.
Oh, no, me neither. Me neither. Never.
Never.
They just wouldn't understand.
They would not, and I would get locked up. That's why I will
yeah,
never go
too.
See a shrink, because I think they'd keep me.
Yeah, I think they would, too. We need to monitor you for 48 hours.
We are not certain whether or not you are a danger to yourself or others. So
right, or others, yep.
Well, Christy, we're just about to the end of our 90 minutes, so I think we should probably go ahead and end the show. Thank you so very much for coming on and talking to us and giving us a really good view into your life. I appreciate that greatly. I know you shared a lot of personal information, and sometimes that's uncomfortable to do, but it was wonderful having you as a guest.
Thank you. I'm so happy that I was able to be on.
And your books are available everywhere, right? They're on
yes,
Amazon.
Everywhere. Yep.
Everywhere.
Yep.
So everybody check it out. Slumber. Make sure you get Slumber. You know, she's international best-selling author now, so you need to read her stuff. And from all of us here at the World of Ink Network, and the Writers Cafe, thank you for tuning in. We will be back in 2 weeks on June the 5th with Julia Lake Mills, another international best-selling author of the Dragon series. And come and listen to her take on the writing world and what we deal with as writers every day. Thank you for tuning in, everybody. Thank you, Christy.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.